17 this morning. If you grab one of those hardback black Bibles in the pews, that should be on page 866. For about 9 months now, we've been working our way through the Gospel of Luke, one of these stories of Jesus' life. And now we're getting to the pivot point, the hinge in the Gospel of Luke. And our text this morning and the next several texts are kind of giving us, in a series of stories and pictures and teachings of Jesus, they're giving us an answer to the question, what is a Christian? What does it actually mean to be a Christian? So we're going to begin answering that question this Sunday and continue, God willing, in future Sundays. So as I read through chapter 9, verses 10 to 17, you'll start to get, via this picture, this story, what it is to be a Christian. On the disciples' return, they told Jesus all that they had done. And Jesus took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. When the crowds learned it, they followed him, and he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God and cured those who had need of healing. Now the day began to wear away, and the 12 came and said to him, "Send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and get provisions, for we are here in a desolate place." But Jesus said to them, "You give them something to eat." They said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we are to go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." And they did so and had them all sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, Jesus looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. A Christian is a person who is apprenticed to Jesus in living by grace. That's the picture we're given in this story of a hungry crowd and some confused disciples, and Jesus. A Christian is a person who is apprenticed to Jesus in living by grace. What we have here is Jesus taking his first group of apprentices, the 12 disciples, and training them in living by grace. That's essentially what's going on in this story. We see the disciples as the first people who are apprenticed to Jesus in living by grace. A quick couple of definitions. An apprentice is someone who is learning to become like their teacher through observing and imitating. An apprentice is someone who is becoming like their teacher through observing and imitating. Apprenticeship is how we learn just about anything that's really worth learning in this life. If you want to learn to play the cello, you get apprenticed to a cellist. If you want to learn to stay sober, you get apprenticed to a sponsor. If you want to learn to cook a meal, parent a toddler, forgive somebody, any of these things are best learned through apprenticeship. And what the disciples are apprenticed to Jesus in is living by grace. So another quick definition. Grace is a gift which you cannot live without and can do nothing to earn. Grace is a gift. That's the basic meaning of the word, but it's not just any gift. It's a gift you can do nothing to earn. It's not like graduation presents that are gifts, but you kind of earned them. And grace is a gift you cannot live without. It is not like every single one of Vanessa's and my wedding presents, which we were living just fine without on the day before we got married, and most of which I wanted to continue living without. Grace is a gift you can do nothing to earn and cannot live without. And here we see Jesus' first apprentices learning through observation and imitation to live by grace. Right? This is the arc of the last several chapters of Luke, what Garrick called the Galilean Symphony. These disciples, they got to observe Jesus sharing grace, giving people life-giving gifts that they had to have, healings and the gift of life, raising dead people and teaching them life-giving truth that they had to have. They got to watch Jesus doing that, and then they got to imitate him. Jesus sent them out in pairs to do exactly what he had been doing in the nearby towns and villages. And during that Galilean symphony, they got to watch Jesus, they got to observe Jesus, not just sharing grace with others, but receiving grace from his Father. Luke 5:16 tells us Jesus would regularly withdraw into desolate places and pray, which we know from Luke chapter 3, prayer for Jesus meant going and being consciously aware of the fact that his Father loved him as a gift, not as a reward for his good behavior. The disciples had been observing Jesus be a receiver of grace. And now at the beginning of the story, in Luke chapter 9, verse 10, Jesus, he takes the disciples away into a desolate place. They sail across the Sea of Galilee to another town called Bethsaida, and then they hike up into the hills somewhere in the wildlands outside of Bethsaida. In Mark, another of the stories of Jesus' life, Jesus says to them, "Come away with me to a desolate place and rest a while. Come imitate me in receiving grace." If you're going to live by grace, you can't just be sharing it all the time. You have to be receivers too. If you've seen the purple and yellow posters that are up all over the building for spiritual formation gym class that we're going to do this school year, one of the first exercises that we're going to practice is the absence of exercise. Resting. Being receivers of life from God as a gift. Not earners of it by how many Bible verses we memorize or prayers we pray or anything else. We're going to be apprenticing to Jesus in that, just like he's doing here. Except, at least from the apprentice's perspective, things go awry. They sail across, it's not actually like an ocean, it's a big lake. But they sail across the lake and then they go on a hike up into the hills and thousands of people find them. And instead of having a really sweet spiritual retreat, they have to go back to work, sharing grace with the crowds. Right? And Jesus took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. That means like the area around the town. When the crowds learned it, they followed him. And Jesus welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God and healed all who had need. Again, they're getting to observe Jesus sharing grace. And then Jesus is going to invite them to imitate him in sharing grace. They're getting to be apprentices. They are becoming the first Christians in history. Apprentices to Jesus in living by grace. An apprentice, by definition, is still learning. An apprentice is not a master craftsman. And the disciples demonstrate their apprenticeship in this story. They still have things to learn in living by grace. A Christian is a person at any stage of being an apprentice to Jesus. You don't have to have achieved a certain level of skill in living by grace. You become an apprentice immediately upon saying, "I want to trust this guy to be my master, to teach and form my life. I want to observe and imitate him." And sometimes that involves a lot of not getting it. That's what goes on with the apprentices in this story. They don't get this whole living by grace thing in this context. We can read into their language here in verse 12, send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and get provisions, for we are here in a desolate place. There's an undertone of resentment there. Right? Like, we went on vacation and work got harder. this isn't fair. Right? We don't deserve this. And there's a problem we can't do anything about. Right? This is the wilderness. And a crowd shows up, thousands of people, and they didn't bother to bring food with them. And now they need to be fed. I was trying to remember, I think the most people I have ever tried to feed at once is maybe 30 or 40. It is an undertaking. It's like a whole day affair to organize and plan and purchase and prepare and cook and serve food for less than 1/100th of this crowd. Right? The disciples are faced with a problem that is undeserved and unsolvable. Just to be clear, like Bethsaida, the nearest town, it's Monroe. It's several hundred people. There is not food for thousands of people there. And if there were, the disciples couldn't buy it. They don't have nearly enough money. And if they could buy it, they couldn't carry it back to where the crowd is. I have deep sympathy for the disciples being like, what do you actually want us to do about this? Life has these kinds of undeserved and unsolvable problems. They're all around us. This morning we said goodbye to some of our cousins who were visiting. And last night they were just like talking about the story of their parents. It's a brother and sister, and about 15 years ago, their dad was in a vehicle accident and has been a living vegetable since then, and has needed to be watched over and provided for. And about 5 years ago, their mom had a psychotic break and is able to function semi-independently, but has to be kind of continually checked on and cared for, right? Our cousins did nothing to deserve that problem, and it is unsolvable. They cannot fix it, right? Life is full of problems like this. If we pause for a moment, we can all relate to what the disciples are facing. We get where they are, and yet they have forgotten that they are living by grace. Not only have they forgotten all of the unsolvable problems that grace has dealt with through their hands, just earlier in chapter 9, right? They've seen people healed, demons cast out. Right? Their definition of unsolvable should be changing in real time. Not only have they forgotten that, they've been so caught up in their own need to solve the problem that they didn't actually hear the instruction that Jesus gave to them. What did Jesus tell them to do when they raised the issue of the hungry crowd? This isn't a trick question, it's an open book quiz. What was Jesus' command to them? Read it precisely. You give them something to eat. Did Jesus say, you make the crowd not hungry anymore? Did he say, you go find enough food to satisfy thousands of people? What did Jesus say? You give them something to eat. Listen to me now. This is living by grace. Treating whatever you have, however meager, 5 loaves and 2 fish, as grace. As a gift that has been given to you, and as something you can share. We are not commanded to solve the unsolvable problems of the world, or our families, or our own hearts. We are commanded by Jesus to live by grace. Jesus does not say to us, end homelessness. Jesus says, be hospitable. Jesus does not say to us, cure cancer. He says, visit the sick. This is what it is to live by grace. Not to have a plan for giving holistic health to all of the young adult orphans of Latvia, but to go into their midst with 5 loaves and 2 fish and give something to eat. This is what we are apprenticed to Jesus in. Lay down the burden of fixing the world. Lay down the burden of fixing yourself. And see Jesus coming to offer you the grace you need, that you might share it with whichever needy people Jesus brings across your path. We are apprentices to Jesus in living by grace. And we get this, fascinating, beautiful picture of what it actually looks like to practice living by grace. This is what we see in the second part of the text. We see the first apprentices living by grace. I find this just marvelous, right? Did a miracle occur in this story?
Yes.
Where? Yes. Find it in the text. Point to me the spot where it says, and then something miraculous happened. Yeah, at the end, there's a multitude of food left over. So clearly something miraculous happened. While it was going on, what was the miraculous moment? I've been marveling at this all week. I'm going to try and take you guys inside the lived experience of one of these apprentices. So Jesus says, you give this huge hungry crowd something to eat, and they say, we can't. And Jesus says, okay, I get it. Have them sit down in groups. And they think, okay, I mean, that's something we can do. I don't know what good it's going to do, but it's doable. Right? And they get the folks organized in groups, and Jesus takes this meager, pathetic, this wouldn't even have fed the 12 of them for the night, set of food. And he makes visible the ecosystem of grace that is all of life. Right? Jesus turns to heaven and gives thanks to God for the offering, this gift of food, and he breaks it, and then he gives it, he graces it to the disciples, and he says, now you guys, you go pass it out. And I've been picturing Matthew, right? Matthew's one of the disciples, one of the apprentices here, and he was a tax collector. He understands quantities and finances and just how thoroughly inadequate this is, right? And Jesus, he's breaking these loaves up, and he hands half of a loaf to Matthew. And says, all right, get to it. And I was just like, how anxious and confused and just prepared to be embarrassed is Matthew? But he's learned to do what Jesus says. So he walks over and breaks off a piece and gives it to a little girl. And he breaks off a piece and gives it to her big brother. Maybe a slightly bigger piece for mom. There's an older man sitting next to them. And then he starts looking down. How is there still bread in my hand? I don't know. Next person. Next person. This is going to take forever. Would you pass some of that out? I'm going to go over to the next group. Right? If you work the math out, Matthew had to pass out food to at least 1,000 people when you factor in the women and the children and everybody else that was there. Right? And he, at some point, he realizes, I don't understand what's happening, but the math is not working. Right? And then at some point, it's been a while, somebody calls out, hey, you, what do we do with the extra? The extra? I don't know. And somebody hands Matthew a basket and says, you can use this. And people start passing forward the bread that they could not eat. until the basket is starting to weigh Matthew down. The word that for basket there is like a laundry hamper-sized thing that's filled and overflowing. They didn't use a lot of yeast, right? This is dense bread, right? And Matthew's like staggering back up to the front, and he sees Simon's got a basket, and over there James has got a basket, and they put it all down. We started with not enough for ourselves between the group of us. And now each of us, after giving away everything we have, has more than we could need as a group. And we did no extraordinary things, no spectacular feats. I broke off a piece of bread. And I gave it to a little girl. And I broke off another and I gave it to her brother. And grace happened. And here we are in the midst of abundant life. This is what it is to live by grace. Did Matthew understand what was going on? Did it make sense to him? No. But he kept going, one ordinary act of grace at a time. And there was more than enough. This is the life Jesus is leading you into. This is the life you are meant to live. A living by grace. A day by day discovering of the infinite depths, the unmeasurable abundance of God's generosity. There's a quote on the front of your bulletin. It comes from one of Jesus' apprentices in the early 5th century in Egypt. He was teaching about this story, and the apprentice, his name was Cyril, he said to his own flock, his fellow apprentices, "Let no one say, 'I do not possess suitable means. What I can do is altogether trifling and insufficient.' Receive strangers, my beloved. Overcome that reluctance which has no reward. The Savior will multiply what little you have many times beyond expectation." That's the call of Jesus on your life. To become his apprentice in living by grace. To look not at what little you have, which is insufficient unless God is going to provide grace. But to look to him and trust him to multiply whatever you have to offer many times beyond expectation. I want to take a minute of silence and invite you to ask God, to ask Jesus, "What is my half of a loaf this week? What is the little that I have that it seems like I cannot share? What are you calling me to share in practicing living by grace?" Father, let's pray. Brothers and sisters, let's pray. Father, thank you for all the gifts that you've given us. Whatever loaves and fishes you've put in our hands. Help us, Lord. Guide us in taking what you have given and imitating your Son in living by grace. Sharing, not with regard to our own sufficiency, but with regard to your abundance. Amen.